and let's try to understand whatever we can, a little bit to take out from this remarkable Maamar Shleim Hadayos. Here the Tzaddik is speaking about, Rav Kook is speaking about the clash between Deos, ideas, thoughts, disciplines, between different mahalchim in ways of thinking, the marshal of the mathematician and the musician, the poet, and within each chachma itself, all the chilukei deos. What Rav Kook is getting at, this entire maimer in Chachmas HaKodesh, is of course about the unique koach of Rosei HaTorah, the secrets of Torah, Pnimis HaTorah, to uncover the deeper nekuda of Echad that joins together all the chachmas. Because in truth, everybody's trying to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even those that don't believe in Him. They're trying to find the mystery that... Shkar, thanks, Jay. The mystery that binds the universe together, that's inside of everything. So we're up to where it says Madrega Beis. We started that last week. I don't know if it's page 92 in the Sefer, or 93, I'm not sure. Where it says, "Rekol ma sheyircha chug ha'ayri shel ha'yidiyah ha'mukar me'ha'yidiyah ha'acheres." I'm using the photostat, so what? Page 92. So Rav Avinir explains, "Kichol she yigdal hamerchak ben hayidias yigdal hatzel." The tzel is the darkness, the confusion, the not understanding, the conflict. The greater the distance between one yidiyah, one way of thinking, the other, the greater the darkness. Because each way of thinking claims the truth. That's what we're learning. Rav Kook is explaining that the mathematician claims that this is the way to see the universe. This is the way to find the truth. And the poet says, no, this is the way to find the truth. And the further these chachmas are away from each other, the greater the darkness that it casts over all of us and our way of understanding what is the truth. So this is where we ended last week. Again, I'm asking for mechila because this Torah is very, very hard. I'm just trying b'derech efsher to see what we could bring out from it. And even within one discipline itself, and the example that he gave was psychology, we have the behaviorists, the behavioralists in that mahalach, and the Freudian psychologists, that within the world of psychology, within the world of psychology itself, there are different shittas that are far one from the other. But al kalponim, it's in the same world, but even in that world, they're far apart from each other. Kach Rav Kook says, "Yigdal hatzel shehimatelis yachad himabihiru shehi gam kein garemis bechlonis." Now here Rav Kook is telling us that together with the confusion and the darkness that comes as a result of the clash between all of these different chachmas, which brings tremendous confusion and darkness, together with that, at the same time, bechlal, there's an increase in awareness and in knowledge. Rav Avinir explains, "Om namatzel yigdal." Even though the darkness increases because of the confusion, as a result of these chachmas that are vying for the truth. Ulam, he says, "Kol yidiyah b'sof shatavim hi'ires kol ha'yidiyas." He says, "Ba'omek, if you look ba'omek in depth, every yidiyah, every piece of knowledge that is gained." Is Meiris Kol HaYidiyas. It adds something. It adds some light to all of the other Yidiyas. There's some nekuda of light that is increased in the world. Even though at the same time there's confusion, but it increases also the light. Ki Chol Hamada Echad Hu. Because the truth is that all knowledge is one, is Echad. And there are mistakes in each one. There are terrible mistakes. But the emes is, as Rav Kook goes on to explain, the emes is that each one of these mistakes is adding to the overall or of man's awareness, of man's knowledge. Lahavdil, when a person is learning halacha, when you're learning a sugi in the Gemara, so all of the mistakes that are made along the way, or even in the Gemara itself, that you could have an ukimta where there are five or six different opinions that are rejected. Everybody that learns Gemara knows. A person who begins learning Gemara is very frustrated by that because he's not used to doing that when he was studying in school all of his life. Where there, when you're studying biology or you're studying math or physics, the author of the book is telling you this is the truth. Whereas when you're learning a Blat Gemara, and this is what's one of the things that's most beautiful about learning a Blat Gemara, is that Gemara is the effort to find the truth. Not to claim that this is the absolute truth, but man's efforts, an effort of a person who's learning Torah to get to the truth. And along the way, there are havaminas, there are possibilities. And each one of the chachamim believes that this is the mahalach in the sugya. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. I have the understanding of the Mishnah. And the entire sugya in the Gemara can go on for pages. The entire sugya of the Gemara is to dissect, to break down into pieces, like a machza shekel. You know, it's Pashas Kol. The Rebbe Reb Naftali Rapshus, a schusikal anyone, Zerakaydish, he points out how it's interesting. All the measurements of the Mishkan, you see, are Amasayim v'chetzi rach. They're in halves. They're in halves. It's interesting, no? How Hashem Yisbach wanted that the Mishkan should be made with measurements of halves. And the Rebbe of Naftali asks, it's strange, because the Baruch Shalom is Tachlis HaShleimus. Everything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfection. So why would it be that the Mishkan, is Dafke built in such a way where everything is half? And this is the sod of the Machza Shekel as well, of the Machza, the half shekel. Why half shekel? And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand. So Chazal tells us, Rashi brings down, that Moshe Rabbeinu is in the Skasha, like, he didn't understand the Indians of a half shekel. What's the big sod of a half shekel? Mainly we understand he didn't know how to make a menorah. The menorah is a complicated mikshachas to make a menorah. One thing called a menorah, it's hard to understand. But when it comes to half a shekel, what's the deep mystery of a half shekel? So in Zerakaydish, Rav Naftali Rapshus speaks about the avoda of a person in this world is to break and to dissect and to crack yourself in half to try to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Mishkan is dafke with half measurements because that's the place of Elokus. You will find Elokus in that place where you kill yourself and you break yourself in half to find the truth, to find God. That's what the Rebbe of Naftali Rapshus is talking about in Zerakaydish. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand how are we supposed to serve the infinite creator? He's perfect, and we're nothing, we're nobody. And the half a shekel Hashem pulled out from under his kisei kovod, a fiery coin, my beishal eish, and said, "Zei yitnu, zei yitnu klarevel, apukud the machta shekel, v'shekel ha-kaydish, machta shekel, v'shekel ha-kaydish." The avoid of a person in this world is to be brutally honest, to dissect yourself, to break yourself in half, to get to the bottom of the truth, to find the truth, to look for the truth, to open something up and to find the truth that's deep inside. That's the inyan of a half shekel. So, when you're learning Gemara, and there are people who would like to just jump right to the halacha, just tell me the you know, bottom line. What's the din? I don't know all this stuff. I don't want to have to go through 10 different opinions and all kinds of machlokes, and then there's Rashi and Tosis and there's a Rambam and there's a Raiva, there's a Tur, and there's the Rosh, and I don't want to have all of these things. Just tell me, what do I have to do? So let me tell the person, oh, no one's ever done this in history, and it'll never happen in history. That's like, you imagine like the Baal Tshuva, his first day in yeshiva, right? I mean, this never happened? No. And Chazal says it's never going to happen. Ben Sora, Omaira, never happened, it's not going to happen. So there's a whole chapter in the Talmud, and it just went like all this stuff, list, my introduction to Judaism, like the last 6 months, that's not practical. So we hope not. You know, it's not practical. That Indian who's been serving is not practical. Such a thing. No. What are we learning next week? We're learning Masechta Saita next week. Next week we're starting Masechta Saita. So what is that? But I want to be able to tell me the Saif Maisa, what I'm supposed to be. What is this? What are you doing all your lives? Sitting around cracking open these nuts. What are you doing with this stuff? So we're saying it's a machsa shekel b'shekel hakodesh, what it means to be a yid. Every single day in the Gemara, every single day, every single opinion, the Rishayim and Achrayim, is the avoid of a yid to find the Bari Olam and to crack open the Mishnah and to open up. Rashi and to open up the Rambam, and there's nothing that's more exciting in the world. And every single opinion of the Gemara that is not the final halacha is filled with nekudas of or of the truth of the Ratzon Hashem in this world. So even though when you're learning the Gemara, especially that person that never learned Gemara before and he starts learning Gemara, he feels a terrible darkness. I've learned with guys, especially in the earlier years. I used to do it all the time, learning Gemara with guys that never learned Gemara before, and to explain to them what's going on, because they feel at the beginning it's a terrible darkness. What is this? What kind of a thing is this? Even before you get to the Gemara, just in the Mishnah, like what do I need? Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, what is this? And what are we supposed to do? The answer is, we don't do any of these things. And what does that mean? We don't do any of these things. So then what's the truth? Tell me, they're both right. Both these and those are the words of the living God. And what Rav Kook is saying over here is that on a deeper level, it's not just with Chochmas HaTorah, it's all Chochmas in the world. Really, really? You could also say, Even with kfira, I'll talk about that in a second. Even in the chachma of atheism, it's just kind of chachma. But even in that world of atheism, both these and those are the words of the living God. Even the opinions that turn out to be ultimately not right, they're off. Could you imagine this past year? Now, everybody's making fun of the scientists, and so am I. It's knocking the scientists and all this stuff that's been going on just because this is science. What kind of science is this? Okay, but in all fairness, there are wonderful, brilliant, fine people that have been spending like 15, 16 hours a day in laboratories trying to help us, right? I mean, they're doing that. There are people that are doing that for the whole year. And what we're making fun of is because we're like the big knackers that, we did high school biology and everything. So what we're saying is that this thing doesn't work. Like they came out last week, so they said, this big thing from Pfizer, I don't remember which one it was, that it has it wasn't what they thought it would be. And now some people, it turns out after they had the second vaccination, they get nochemal, they have the mice, right? So everybody says, what kind of Pfizer? What's the matter with you? Right? So my way of thinking is, after making fun of all that stuff, my way of thinking is, it's pretty choshev. Because these are people who have gone through a year, day and night, of millions of attempts, efforts, mistakes, disappointments, looking through the microscope, banging on the table, it didn't go. And they're trying to save people's lives. In all fairness, they're trying to save people's lives. They're cracking open, breaking open the Baruch Shalom's world to try to see, how do you get rid of this stupid thing? And they're going crazy trying to find that. Okay, their bosses are looking for the money. But the guys that are in the laboratory and the girls, they're just Amish. They're trying to get to the truth. And even though at the end, it didn't come out right, this formula didn't work. And they take the test tubes and they take all the stuff that they're working on for the last month. For mom is 17, 18 hours a day and night, and they take it, and I can't imagine, the feeling must be terrible, and the vaftis and the garbage can, and then the next morning they're coming again with their white jackets, and they start again. It's not a gewaltige thing. I think it's a gewaltige thing. It's It's a gewaltige thing. I'm not talking about the money and all the lies that are involved in the corporations. I'm talking about the guy and the girl and the technicians, the scientists in the laboratory that they're working day and night to try to come to the truth. Now, when they throw that thing in the garbage, there has to be some smart person over there, maybe a cleaning lady or something, that takes out the thing that was thrown out from the garbage, because in the end, something about that thing that was thrown out in the garbage is going to save 1 million people. You understand, right? That's how it works. Something about that. There's an akuda in that thing that was thrown out that was thousands and thousands of hours of hard work. There's an akuda of truth in that discarded formula. There's an akuda there that somehow, in some way, is going to be a to'elis. Is going to somehow be a to'elis. Is going to save lives. Somehow, in some way. It's part of the havamina. It didn't come down aliba de hilchasa. It didn't work out lahalacha. In other words, we don't paskin like that. I don't paskin like that. It's not the psak. But sof kol sof, the mahalach and the avoid and the amelus of human beings to try to find the truth, even those who have made terrible mistakes, which the Rebbe of Pinchas Karitz I was mentioning a minute ago. I'm not going to go into it, it's a whole Torah what that means. Where Pinchas Karitz, Rav Kook speaks about this as well. It's another one of these pieces he got into a lot of trouble for. That Rav Kook was trying to be danikav schus kfira. Kfira. What's kfira? Kfira is heresy. Kfira is atheism. It's a whole Torah that the tzaddikim spoke about. Really, Rav Pinchas Karitz, it's a famous vart from Rav Pinchas Karitz. They say it in the name of the Kotzka, but it was really from Rav Pinchas Karitz. That Rav Pinchas Karitz said, because every midah you have to be able to use in a way to serve Hashem, right? Everything is b'chol drechacha de'eyu. So even anger, you have to be angry against the Rishayim, right? Every midah can be used in a lokus. We've spoken about that a million times. So they asked Rav Pinchas Karitz, what about the midah of rejecting Hashem? What about the midah of kfira? There's a certain midah sanefesh of a skeptic. What about skepticism? Suffolk, amalek. How do you use amalek in kedusha? It's a big question. How do you use amalek in kedusha? Amalek is mochatimcha, and yet we see that the Baruch Hashem wanted amalek to be in the world. How do we know that? Because they're in the world. And it says in the over there in Bishalach, V'yachlish Yeshua. It says he Moshe ben his arms were up and he weakened Amalek. Why didn't Hashem let him finish him off already? Why didn't, if Amalek is so bad, why is it that, so Moshe ben, hold your arms up for another hour? What's the big deal? And let's put an end to this misery. Let's get rid of Amalek. No? So this is what I'm talking about this. Why not finish it up? Why leave doubt in the world? Because Amalek means doubt. Why allow skepticism to linger in creation? That's a big question. Because Amalek is skepticism. Wherever there's somebody that's trying to know the truth and trying to get to the truth, Amalek comes and says, I don't think so. It doesn't look like it. Skepticism. Why does Hashem allow that to be in the world? The same question that we were talking about a minute ago about the Gemara. Why does Hashem allow this to be? Not only allow it to be, that He wants it to be in the Gemara, this Havamina, to slug up this Havamina, to go back and forth and to question this, to question this premise of the Gemara. Why? Why? Just get rid of all the sveikas, get rid of all the skepticism, all the atheism, all of the amalek that's in existence, and then everything is gleich, everything is smooth and clear and good and we're happy and getting, right? That's the question. So you see that the Baruch Shalom wanted suffix to remain in the world. Rav Pinchas Karitz has said, of course, the famous word of Rav Pinchas Karitz is that when a poor person comes collecting, you shouldn't think that, oh, he'll be okay, the Baruch Shalom will help him out. At that moment, there is no Baruch Shalom. You should doubt Hashem's existence. He didn't mean chas v'chalila, that there's no God. He says, at that moment, don't give a speech about, don't tell the poor man, don't worry, God's here, He's looking after you, you'll be fine. So what are you giving me? No, God's going to give you that. You're fine. At that moment, be a little bit of an atheist, chalila. Be a little bit of a skeptic at that moment. Don't be so certain that God's going to take care of this poor guy. Ki'ilu, ki'ilu, at that moment, there's nothing except you. There's nobody except you. That's what Pinchas Karitz said. It's a very deep Torah. It's a very, very deep Torah. Because he was saying that even in kfira, there's elokus. even in doubt, and even in the mistakes, and even in the skepticism, there's elokus, because the Baruch Shalom wants a person to break things in half and to get to the truth and to fight through the skepticism, to fight through. He wants us to fight against the Molech. Not just that a Molech is, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mocha, I'm going to raise a Molech. Timcha Zech a Molech. Why does Hashem need help? Hashem says, Mocha Emcha, I'm going to raise a Molech. But then he gives a mitzvah, midaraisa of what? Timcha Zech a Molech. You should erase a Molech. So you say, b'chavod. You said, you're going to raise a Molech. What, you need little helpers? You don't like them? So get rid of them. So Baruch Shalom says, don't believe in me that I could do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. You're infinite. You have to help me. Timcha Zech HaMolech. It's an amazing thing. Timcha Zech HaMolech. You erase a Molech. The Baruch Shalom, you see the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Rishus to Yeshua Vayachlis only to weaken a Molech, not to eradicate a Molech. Moshe and his arms ultimately were put down before they were finished off. They weren't finished off. Hitler Yimach Shema wasn't finished off. Wasn't finished. There's Shiraim in the world. And the Baruch Shalom wants that the world should fight against ugliness and skepticism and doubt and atheism and everything. The Baruch Shalom wants that there should be a world of Milchama LaHashem BaAmalek Midor Dor. There's a war of Hashem against Amalek Midor Dor, and He wants us to be His soldiers in that war against Amalek. That's what the Baruch Shalom wants us to be in that, to be in that war against Amalek. It's an ongoing Milchama, and in each and every effort that's made, even though it's not ultimately it's not successful and it doesn't get to the end, nevertheless, It has in it that light of Hashem's truth. That light of Hashem's truth. That's what Rav Kook is talking about now here. Look what Rav Avner explains. The truth is, Rav, that every yidiyah, every piece of knowledge, even though, of course, it creates confusion and darkness because it's conflicting with the other shittas and so on, but it's also a piece of light. It has elements of truth and light in it. Because all knowledge really is echad. Now, the scientists don't see, they're always fighting. And Lahavdil, the Talmid Chacham and the Beis Medrash are always fighting. Kol mada echad hu, all knowledge is really one. Now, the only body of knowledge that is continuously focused on ki hincha echad b'chol dimyonis is what? What knowledge? Pnimis HaTorah is sod. Sod, there's no machlokes when you learn sod. When you're learning the Arizal, when you learn, it's no machlokes. Different days, shittas. There are shittas in Kabbalah, but it's a different mahalach. What that means is that, and even what the Vilna Gaon said, that if you think that there's a machlokes between the Zohar Kodesh and the halacha, between Kabbalah and halacha, it's just you didn't understand it properly. That's the Vilna Gaon said. And if you would understand it properly, you see there's no machlokes at all. So you see the Kabbalah, the Ramak, the Kabbalah, the Arizal. It's not machlokes at all. And certainly internally in each one of those Batei Midrashim, there's no machlokes at all. But even between them, there's no machlokes. It's no machlokes. Because that inyan of sod, all it cares about is getting, all it's consciously caring about is echad. The other days are not consciously thinking about that necessarily. They're trying to find out this particular piece of the puzzle, what it looks like. The only chokhmah that is not focused on the piece of the puzzle, but the entire picture, the whole puzzle, that's only rosei Torah, that's only sod, that's only pnimis HaTorah. So he continues. Va'advarim nikarim b'yoser, you have the place? Va'advarim nikarim b'yoser b'yachas shel kol chokhmah mugderus lagabi chavetah. If you take two disciplines in Madei HaTeva, which means in science, so you take L'moshel, mathematical or physical. You take mathematics and physics. So mathematics and physics are two madoyim that are really very deeply connected, mathematics and physics. Therefore, people who suffer from physics will always suffer from math, and ones who suffer from math will always suffer from physics. It's not, there's nobody that just has agnus nefesh from one of those, right? So those two are very, very deeply connected. The basis of the basis, that's what he's saying, shetchum isukam zehe bebasiso. The tchum, the basis of those two disciplines of physics and mathematics, really at the core, it's really one. But Davka Rav Kook is saying that there are huge fights. The biggest fights are between the physicists and the mathematicians. Huge fights. Because they're all fighting for the same emes. They're fighting for the same emes, and it comes from the same place, and each one is threatened by what seems to the other to be a terrible error, that we're this close to the truth, and now you have undermined all of our efforts to get to the truth, because it's in the same tchum. Like, the physicist doesn't care what some sociologist is talking about. What do I care what he talks about? Stam is narishkeit. Doesn't care. But the physicist can't say to the great mathematician that it's stam narishkeit. It's not narishkeit. What do you mean? He's a great mathematician. And you're in the same inyan. You're in the same sugya. Therefore, the darkness that comes as a result of those machlokes is very, very deep. It's very intense. And the deeper you get into a certain field of study, it becomes more and more, every other field of study becomes more and more irrelevant, becomes silly. All the other things become silly. When you're deep into something, everything else becomes silly. It becomes a waste of time. Is an Irish guy. Maran HaRav Kook Kosev. Rav Kook writes in another place in the not far away from where we are. Kenachnu mispailim min hamumchim agedolim. Rav Kook says that we're very impressed by the great mumchim, by people who are great experts in their fields. Min hamumchim agedolim. But Yosei Yesh Lispol. And Rav Kook is also, that's impressive. However, he writes over there. Rav Kook teaches over there. But then you have people, Chachamim Koilalim. Chachamim HaKoilalim. Those Chachamim who were able to cross over from one discipline to another and see the lines that connect between one Chachma and the other Chachma. Rav Kook says, those are the most Chashiv. Because when it comes to a mumcha, the greater his mumchi is, the greater his expertise in one inyan, the bigger the amharis he is in everything else. He's a huge amharis in everything else. And because at the core everything is echad, that means that this big mumcha is missing something, and therefore all of his mumchi is wrong. Because what happens is that the emes is that all of the chachmas are connected. They're pieces of the puzzle. Now, what happens to this mumcha is he becomes so fixated on his piece that it becomes impossible for him to see the puzzle. He becomes completely, completely obsessed with that piece, and he's totally mishugah with that piece. And because of that. He's not interested, or nor does he even entertain the possibility that the ultimate truth lies in him looking at his piece of the puzzle and then taking a look what's going on by the other guy. He won't even do that. He's not going to look at the other guy. What's happening right now in America, that America's cracking and falling apart. When I was growing up, when all of us were growing up, we never had an Indian Democrats, Republicans. One was a Democrats, Republican. It wasn't like such a big deal. It wasn't like you're a Russia, you're a Tzaddik. But it was like, You know what I mean? It wasn't a vicious, a sitkus. It wasn't such a thing. And now it came to such a thing that the person, my wife was telling me that, no, my Shani was telling me that if you now, if they find out now that you were like a Trumpian, that you voted for Trump, or that you, or that somewhere, sometime you were seen in a picture, not in the Capitol, not for states, but you were seen in a picture at a Trump rally 2 years ago, you're out of a job. And all you, what do you mean you're out of a job? You work in the Sram store. You just, you know, like you work in Eichler's. You're selling Feldheim and Art Scroll. What happened to me? No, I'm sorry. We can't have any Trumpians over here. When happened such a thing? When did that happen? It used to be you wanted Nixon, you wanted Kennedy. Okay, neither of them are tzaddikim, neither of them are rishayim. You like this, you like that. You hold a little bit more money, a little bit less money, the government a little more, the government a little less. All these were things, all the years, we never had such an Indian. And one family was possible for a brother to vote like this, and a sister to vote like this. There wasn't such a thing, like it was such a big deal. But now, this one can't look in the machna of the other. And of course, the truth is to be found in both machnas. There's something of the truth in both of these machnas. Of course there's something to be. There are nekudas of Ur and tons of Choshech, but there are nekudas of Ur in each of these machnas. There are nekudas of light. But no one's going to look at the other one, and because of that, it's going to be a huge mess. We just have to get ready, hold on, and call Nefesh B'Nefesh. Because it's just a huge, huge mess. These next couple of years, whoa. It's a huge mess. Ad kedekach, I was thinking about this. I don't think that, excuse me if I want to talk about this, this stuyot, but just as the marshal to understand, I personally don't think that Biden is any kind of a Russia. I think he's Nebuchadnezzar, Oiver Botli, understand? He was never much of anything all the years, and it's only because of a certain wave of hatred towards Trump that this guy turned around and says, ah, I'm president. he might not even remember that tomorrow. I don't know. But how did such a thing happen? I don't think he's a bad guy. I bet he's a bad guy. I don't think he's an anti-Semite. You know, there are all these crazy, extreme people. He's not an anti-Semite. Yeah, he doesn't like Netanyahu. There are a lot of people in Israel don't like Netanyahu either. I got news for you. I happen to like him, but a lot of people don't like him. So he's not an anti-Semite. He's not a Russia. He's a nice American guy. Listen, the guy had a lot of sorrows in his life also. I don't know if you know that. He had a lot of sorrows in his life. He's not a bad guy. But I can understand. Why is he allowing this impeachment thing to continue? I mean, I don't know where it's holding because I only get a report like on Monday morning, and that's it. And then I find out the next Monday morning what, you know, the country's still existing. So that's when I get my briefing. Shani gives me my briefing. So, like, why doesn't he do something like he's, because he's talking about the country has to come together. Echad, right? He wants it to be Echad. And he made speeches, whatever he made speeches. They wrote from speeches. He wants it should be Echad. Echad. Everything, the country has been so divided, so we need to come back together. The easiest thing in the world for him to do would be what? To say, you know what, Donald, you meant well. It's not Taka Michigan, but you meant well. And Mochel. Machalach, machalach, machalach. Gandik, finish the whole parish and let's go on. He wants there to be unity, he says. It would take one speech for 5 minutes to say, drop the whole Indian, let's come together. He can't do it. I think he would probably do it himself, but he's surrounded by all these Rishayim. He can't do it. He can't do it. It would be the easiest thing. It was the Indian of Echad is at the tip of your tongue. There's the Indian of Echad. And there's such a Yetzirah not to be able to say, let's forget this whole thing, this is ridiculous. Why did he ever impeach a president after he's finished?
They don't want him to run again.
I know why. But it's all, we know why they're doing that. It's all nekama. It's nekama. It's the ugliest midas that are coming out. Ugly midas. Lowest midas. The people are supposed to be running the country. The lowest midas. And this nice guy, this harmless guy that spent the whole campaign in the basement watching football or something, this harmless guy, he can't just say, we appreciate all the good things that the president did in his administration. We don't agree with many of his policies. The first day he was in, he signed every executive order they put in front of him. He said, what's this? He said, no, just sign. He said, okay. They put all these executive orders in front. He signed all these things. right? But just say you did a lot of good things. You helped the country. You helped a lot of poor people. You did a lot of good things. We understand. You know, we have differences of opinion, but this is America. It's a great country, and we want everybody to get along with each other. Like, why not do that? Isn't anybody telling him that's a good idea? It seems to be such a good thing to do. They can't do it. They cannot do that. Because it came to a point where I cannot look at any nakuda of or, I can't see any or at all. You are a molek and moche timcha. That's it. It's such a darkness. It's unbelievable. And here's the same mikzoah, all the politicians, they're in the same mikzoah. They're in that same field, whatever you want to call it, politics. They're in that same sugya of politics. And each one is kaifer altogether in any legitimacy of the other one. I don't remember there ever being such a thing. And I'm trying to think about this and understand how is this a very big inyan before Mashiach comes, that it's come to that. That this is also a siman of the end. It's a siman of the end. It's an unbelievable, unbelievable, complete rejection of anything that in any way threatens your picture of the truth and how Purim is going to be coming to an end in a very short time. This whole Purim spiel is going to be finished. This one's Achashverosh, he's the big king, oh, such a chash of a king. And Haman, what a chash of a politician, a big chash of a politician. And then you know what happened. The next thing you see is his Gornish Megornish, and he's hanging from a tree. The other one is finished. It's nothing. It's all. They're talking like, you know, each one knows, and all of Purim is ad l'yada. You don't know anything. And the Baruch Shem is bringing the whole world now to a place that where the world is going to finally say, we don't know anything. It's ad l'yada. We don't know anything. Altogether shikr. The whole world is shikr, and the world doesn't know anything. Doesn't know anything. So that's what's happening. It's crazy, but that's what's happening. He says, "Kichol she'odem esamkim mitzvah mosim kach kosher lohavim mitzvahs nosafim." Yeah, I'm sorry. He said it more. Miss Paul, "Hayos v'harbe pamam muchel gadol mumchiusa b'davarachad kach burasa b'davaracher b'tchum achem l'dugma hamor l'sifrut." You have someone who's teaching literature. The literature teacher prides himself or herself that mathematics is not my thing. I don't know anything in literature. I'm Shakespeare. I'm Browning. I'm not, you know, math is not my thing. I can't calculate. I don't even know how to add, you know, in the grocery. I need a calculator to put together, you know, one soda with another soda. I don't know anything in mathematics. And that's like a chshivas, because I'm such an important student of literature that my whole life is completely bound to literature, that it doesn't have room for the silliness of these numbers that you guys are playing around with your whole lives. Who cares about numbers? We're talking about emotions and feelings. We're talking about the sunrise and the sunset. You're talking about numbers. It's Narishkai. What do I have? There's no inyan that I have with any of your silliness. I don't care about your silliness because it's meaningless. He's misgosh. Ain't him even klumba matematika. Vaymerla matematika misgosh. Ain't him even klumba sifrut. And then you have the mathematics teacher that's proud that the whole poetry is total nonsense. We're talking about an exact science, numbers. We're talking about the truth. And the guy's talking about sunrise. He's reading some poem. It's total nonsense. It's totally ridiculous. You'll find some guy, like you'll have some guy in shul, and he considers himself to be, wherever that shul is, you know, any Orthodox shul. So you have this guy, he's like a Maimonidean type, you know what I mean? He thinks of himself as being a big intellectual. And they're having a conversation during Chazaras HaShatz, because there's a speaker that the shul invited who is like more of a poetic Hasidic type, right? And the one who thinks of himself as being a disciple of the Rambam, so he's saying to his friend in shul during Chazaras HaShatz, he's saying to his friend in shul, you know, I know that person's a fine person, that Chazaras HaShatz guy, he's a fine person, but there's nothing of substance. There's nothing that he's saying that's of any substance. It's just, you know, it's fluff, cotton candy, feelings, feel good. But it's not, you know, I live in a world of science, of math. I live in a world of, you know, of brisk. I live in a world of mathematics. I live in a world that's clear. So the guy says to him, so why are you talking all the time during davening? It says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to talk during davening. The brisker Rav didn't talk during davening. Why are you talking during davening? It's a kasha, no? And you could have the other way too. You could have the chassidish guy, the romanticist, the nanach guy. So he's making fun of the brisker. And he sees the briskas. What are you wasting your time with this? Like this, there's two dinim, five dinim. Who cares how many dinim there are? The Baruch Shalom loves us. Ah! What's the nafke minute? There's two dinim, five dinim. What's the difference? The main thing is the Baruch Shalom loves us, right? No. That's not all there is. There's also a question whether they're two dinim or not. Well, there's two dinim, it's five dinim is a big question. And you have to learn that. You have to understand it. In order to be able to connect to Hashem Baruch, that's part of the whole puzzle. They're pieces in the puzzle. And the Rabbi Nachman guy is right, and the Brisk is right. But each one looks at the other one and says, it's lo yusla. This guy spends his whole life talking about Chepta Gavra. And the other one says, this guy spends his whole life talking about Hashem loves you. Wasting his time. What is that? It's nothing. So each one in his miktzava, in his way, can't see the other one. Mamish. Can't see the other. I was talking about this last Shabbos. The whole inyan of Mashiach is to look in every direction. The whole inyan of Mashiach is all of the Or by Rabbi Nachman, all of the Or in Brisk, all of the Or in Chabad, all of the Or in Ponevich and Tells, all of the Or in the Rashash and the Yemenites and the Persians, all of the Or, the beautiful Or. All the Or, all the Oiris that come together. Huh?
But how much of the Or of the Umas HaOlam should we take seriously when you compare the scientists who are working so hard with the people in the Gemara who are working so hard? Can you compare them?
No, we're not talking. We're learning. It's not making a comparison. I'm using it as a mushal about how people think. Torah is something else. But just Rav Kook is speaking about how certain those midas, or the way that people operate and think in Torah, is also a way that people think and operate in secular things as well. That doesn't mean that he's making comparison between Chochmas HaTorah and Chochmas of Chol. But in the way that people think, But the greatness of Torah is that we do respect every opinion in the Gemara. The problem is, how come this brisker and this chassidish guy, how come they don't respect each other? That's the problem. We respect all the opinions in the Gemara. We respect all the opinions in the Rishonim. We respect all the opinions in the Achronim. When there's a machlokes between Noidi B'Yehuda and Chassam Sofer, everybody says, whoa, Noidi B'Yehuda and Chassam Sofer, wow. But when it's the guy, you know, in the street, who's different from you, him you don't respect. Him you feel like you have to reject. That's the problem. That's what's going on. That has a lot to do with other things as well, with our insecurities and so on. All of the things that are underneath the surface. He says that the one who's teaching literature is Mizgo. Can't even klumba mathematics. If I'm really mathematical, Mizgo. Can't even klumba cifras. Even if these ways of thinking and of understanding creation seem opposed to each other, as a result, He says, Gam b'matimah, as a result of the differences between these two that are close to each other, there comes out tremendous darkness. Gam ha-matimatik v'hizik v'melchama p'nimis, ulam shnei ha-madai mishtamshim b'osam karchas ha-nefesh, tol kadei shimush b'gishos shonos. Now, the mathematician and the physicist are using the same karchas ha-nefesh to try to find the truth. They're using the same karchas ha-seichel, karchas ha-nefesh. The physicist, the mathematician, are dipping into the same mikveh. They're trying to get to the, they're using the same karchas. Rav Avinir explains, Madregas nigud koshi yosi hikashi ha-karchas ha-navshim ha-mufolim b'shas limud v'yitzirish shnei tchumim shonim l'chalutin. But then you have two people, like the mathematician and the poet, where they're completely different disciplines. Two different ways of looking at things, and they're using different karchas ha-nefesh. Ha-ofi ha-pnimi shel ha-matematika shon l'chalutin ha-ofi ha-pnimi shel ha-shiva. The mathematician and the poet, two different koiches and nefesh. Lo rak shetchumim elu la'oskim ba'osam lo'isam. It's not just that mathematics and poetry are talking about different inyonim. Ela shem shonim lechalutin. It's two different personalities, two different ways of thinking and feeling and so on. Koiches and nefesh mufalim litzor shira. The koiches and nefesh that one needs to write a poem and to make a song, or Lumod Mathematica, or to study math, Shalom Lechalutin, these are opposite ends. Ha'akaris Menugodis Hein Ba'ifin Ha'Pnimi. Here, the Hisnagdus is in a Pnimistic way. The different Koyches and Nefesh. Masha'enik came between the mathematician and the physicist. There, the Machlaikis between the mathematician and the physicist is more on the surface. It gets very bitter because they feel they're this close. It gets very angry and very bitter, but the truth is that they're using the same karchas nefesh, which is why it also could get very angry, very bitter and ugly. But in pnimius, they're in the same world at least. Bederach limudon, madregas nigud zugaremes lalomid mada echad liras es atchum ha'echad b'tzura me'uveses, and because of that, the mathematician completely misunderstands the poet. The poet completely misunderstands the mathematician. The breslava completely misunderstands the briska lahavdom, and the briska completely misunderstands the breast of it. It's like it doesn't understand, like, and he could even say things that he shouldn't say, and even some big people will talk like that. It doesn't understand what are you doing, what are you wasting your time, what are you doing? Don't understand. So it's a complete misunderstanding of what breast of is, and the breast of it doesn't understand what the risk is about. It's a complete misunderstanding, and it's a whole crooked way of interpreting breast of and brisk. Because both of those worlds are holy, holy, mamish, kodesh, kodesh, kodesh. And each one is misinterpreting the other one. And because of that, Mashiach isn't here, and there's darkness, and fighting, and machlokes. And instead, what happens, when does this wall begin to fall down? This is what we're going to get to next week, Mitzvah Hashem. When does the wall begin to fall down? Here's the interesting thing that Rav Kook is getting to. When at some point, listen to this, Chaim, at some point, the Briska says to himself, I'm not going to tell the guys in Bis Medrash. I'm not going to tell them. And he says to his wife, you have to swear to me. You're not going to tell anybody. And she says, what is it? He says, I'm joining together with a small chabura in an apartment in Geula. We're going to learn, not Rabbi Nachman, he wouldn't go near them. We're going to learn Lashem. That means Litvisha Kabbalah. Right? We're going to learn Kabbalah. We're going to learn some of the teachings of the Leshem, of the Ramchal, the Leshem, right? We're going to learn a little Kabbalah. The wife says, Kabbalah? Your whole life you're making fun of the Kabbalists and stuff? He says, you know, look, I'm already 50 years old. I feel like, you know, it's time for, I want to see what this is about and so on. So then this brisker, he hides, he puts up his collar, right? And he gets together a couple other Litvaks someplace in Kula, you know, in an apartment. They get together in the apartment. No phones allowed, no pictures allowed, right? And they sit there the whole night, one night a week, and they learn Lashon. They start to learn Sod, the secrets of Torah. And then all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, it could take some time, he begins to think, you know, maybe those guys are onto something. Maybe the other ones, the others, Maybe there's something there that they're talking about. And then the breast of a guy, he doesn't have to hide it or anything because there's nothing, he's not nervous about the breast of his. He has some litvish friend that says, you know, what are you running around the whole time with this stuff? God loves me. Look, all you have is look at the man, look at the lachas. Let's learn together. This big lambda and sits and learns with the breast of a guy. He never learns in such a level, such a madrega. And the breast of a guy starts to think, yeah, these guys are onto something. These guys are onto something. And they begin, then suddenly they cross each other in the street. The breast of her and the brisker, they pass each other in the street. And instead of looking with a smirk like each one or the other one, they start to look at each other, you know. You want to learn together? Ah, that's Mashiach. That's Rav Kook is saying. That's Mashiach. You want to learn together? When each one starts to realize that I never had the whole truth. Even though, they're both true, completely true. I thought it wasn't the whole, I thought the other one had nothing. I didn't see any aura at all in it. And now I realize that the Emma says I can't be a true brisker without Rabbi Nachman. And that's, I could get arrested and shot for saying that. And I can't be a true breastlover without understanding of Chaim Brisker. That's the emes. I can't really be a wrestler without Rabbi Chaim. That's Mashiach's Torah. That's what Rav Kook is talking about. It begins with the world of Sod. Because Sod takes away all the outer layers and says, Chevre, it's all Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's what it is. It's all Echad. It's all Echad. That's what we're all looking for. So don't get hung up on the peels. Echad. It's all Echad. I'm interested to be continued.